Ryan Callahan, he is the recruiting editor at GoVols247, obviously GoVols247.com. He's on Twitter, at Ryan Callahan 247, above just the recruiting part, covers the Vols. Good morning, Ryan. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
Doing well, man. I thought Jeremy Pruitt, first time around, a lot of, and then maybe you see it more because you deal with him, obviously, on a daily basis or nearly daily basis when he is available, and just his maturation in handling the media questions and all of that from day one when he became a head coach, that first press conference, to his the way he went about his business in Atlanta yesterday, I think you can see that maturation.
I agree. I thought he did a really nice job. And on top of that, you know, actually was a pretty good quote on some things. You know, I don't know that he's ever going to be just a media darling or anything, but he certainly has an honest, direct approach that a lot of people like to hear, obviously, in the line of work that we are in. So, he was very frank on some things. I thought handled some tough questions very well, you know, having to deal with the Aaron Murray criticism and all that stuff that he was asked about yesterday. I thought he handled that really well. Didn't reveal too much, but at the same time was pretty open on the Trey Smith situation, at least as much as he could say about, his health situation and what, you know, how ready he might be for this season. So, yeah, I thought he did a nice job and was maybe more comfortable than people might have expected in the spotlight.
Yeah, and just the Aaron Murray thing, you know, that sort of comes out of left field. And, you know, the thing is, of course, Aaron Murray, the former Georgia quarterback, now with the CBS Sports Network, and said he didn't know that he was fit to be a head coach, not CEO material, was not happy with how the relationship with Mark Richt ended there, whatever. You know, I guess it's all secondhand knowledge for Murray because he wasn't on the team at the time, which I thought was rather revealing, but that 2 years. But I thought he handled it well. And any time you can start out a question or a response to a tough question with this, 15 years ago, I was a kindergarten teacher. Man, you can already have some sympathy. All right. Yeah, because, you know, it just shows where he's come from.
Absolutely. I thought that was the strongest point of his response was, he was able to point to his resume, essentially, to defend himself. He said, look, I was a kindergarten teacher 15 years ago, and now I'm the head coach at Tennessee. You don't get to make that ascension through the ranks in coaching without knowing how to treat people. So he makes a very good point there. Obviously, you know, if he's able to treat people badly and still make that climb, that's quite a statement in and of itself. But I think it does make a good point that he clearly knows how to deal with at least the right people that matter and has done a good job over the years. So, yeah, I thought that was a very strong point on his part. And obviously his background makes the case for him, as it has throughout his career, because he's been involved in some good programs and some national championship teams. And that's always a nice thing to be able to point to as a head coach.
Well, and the number one advice Philip Fulmer or anybody would give Jeremy Pruitt is just don't go down there and be Butch Jones. Okay, yeah. And be who you are, and Feinbaum, calling Butch Jones a carny barker, but maybe a bit much with that, but you know what I'm talking about, all the cliches and all this and that and yada yada. I think what you got from Jeremy Pruitt is what UT fans want, a real dude.
Exactly, and you know what, he didn't have to say anything. I mean, I think the team on paper coming back this year kind of speaks for itself. When we looked at the All-SEC media ballot that we filled out yesterday, or that I filled out yesterday, that will be the results of that will be coming out, I guess, Friday. You know, when you look at that, there are only three Tennessee players, I think, listed on the entire ballot. That tells you where Tennessee is as a program right now. It was, I believe, Daniel Batuli, Trey Smith, and Marquez Callaway. That's it. Not even Nigel Warrior is on the ballot for Tennessee. So it's not a team that on paper is going to be expected to do much. And so he didn't have to go out of his way to say anything about this being, you know, year zero or anything like that to excuse what he's inherited at Tennessee. All he said was, hey, I can't speak for anything that happened before I got here. All I know is what we've done. I think our players are working hard and they're doing the best they can. And we've shown improvement since the spring and all those things. He didn't have to make any statement about what they can do this year, and I thought he handled all that pretty well.
Well, just remind me, I got to get something figured out. Is this team 125? What is 120?
It's a great question. I've lost count. I'll have to figure that out.
Yeah. Ryan Callahan with us, govols247.com. You can follow him on Twitter. Great follow on Twitter, especially UT fans, the recruiting component, largely a part of mainly what he does, and a lot of different things, obviously, not just that. Ryan Callahan, 247 on Twitter. The Trey Smith thing, that had to be some good news, and I was did you see that coming?
Well, so I think you still have to read between the lines of what Jeremy Pruitt is saying there. I don't think he absolutely came out and said Trey Smith is 100% good to go and will be doing everything during preseason camp. What he didn't say was he was asked the question, will Trey Smith be cleared for contact? And he answered it very cleverly by saying, well, no one's going to be cleared for contact on the first day. Everybody's got to go through the acclimation period, and so you're not in pads until the fifth day. Or full pads until the fifth day of practice. So he handled that well. But what he didn't say there is, yeah, Trey will be completely cleared for everything. So he did say he would be out there this fall, and I'm sure that's true. But there still could be some questions as to what he's cleared to do. But the key here is I think Jeremy Pruitt's continued to express confidence that Trey Smith is going to be out there. So it wasn't surprising in that sense. He's made it sound for a few months like he expects him to be out there. But it was interesting to hear him frame it that way, but I still think if you read between the lines of what he actually said, he didn't come out and say completely that everything is 100% good to go just yet. So I think there still might be some final hurdles to clear, but they obviously think things are headed in the right direction, that he'll be out there.
Any clue as to what? Obviously HIPAA laws and a lot of different things with health issues with, you know, college students, and I understand all of that. A little bit of a different animal when you're talking about a college football player. Do we have any inclination what this undisclosed malady was?
Yeah. But obviously, we hear things behind the scenes. I certainly, it's not the kind of thing I certainly want to speculate about.
Yeah.
People have wondered, is it a heart issue or anything like that? I don't think it's that. I even was asked the other day, is it a drug related suspension essentially, and they just kind of tried to keep it quiet. No, I don't think it's anything like that either. I think it's a legitimate medical situation that they had to deal with. There may have been medication involved that they kind of had to see how he responded to it, that kind of thing, or some sort of treatment. So it's been kind of a delicate situation, and it's also been something his family has gone to pretty good lengths to keep it quiet and not really reveal anything about it. And I thought Jeremy Pruitt even yesterday referring to it as a condition was somewhat revealing for what I expected to say about that whole situation. So don't really know exactly what it is, but don't think it's a heart issue. Don't think it was, something that it wasn't framed to be, some sort of suspension, nothing like that. I think it was a legitimate medical concern that wouldn't want to say exactly what it might be without knowing for sure.
Also, Jeremy Pruitt comes out and uses the term absolutely that he expect linebacker signee J.J. Pearson, of course, out of Moultrie, Georgia, to be in camp. And, of course, we know the caliber of player he is. And so I guess that's some – if you're reading it again, there's some good news for Vol fans.
It is. And yet again, that's saying he absolutely expects him to be there, not that he already has been cleared. So it's interesting. I saw multiple reports kind of running with that and taking it as official news. And at the same time, the way he worded it, it's still not official. He still has to get cleared and get on campus, ultimately, at the end of the day. That's what it's all about. So they're still waiting. Obviously, they think things are going in the right direction. They've been confident, I think, all summer that he would be able to get it done. But the longer it's going on, I think you worry a little bit more just because he's gone through both summer sessions and not made it to Tennessee just yet. So I think that the expectation at this point is that he'll be okay, but still you've got to worry just a little bit because you are now talking about him just arriving basically in time for preseason camp. And we've seen this happen with players before. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But once you get to this point, I think anything is on the table and you can't rule out that he doesn't make it. But obviously they feel good about it right now.
Ryan Callahan with us at 247 Sports, govols247.com, and you can listen or find him, listen to him, I guess. He can probably talk on there, Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter as well. The quarterback situation, he was going to be asked about that. Garantano, I think when they brought in Crist, he could have really handled it one of two ways. He could have pouted, ran off, did whatever he wanted to do, or he could have, you know, gone to work. And it seems like that Garantano went to work. It's going to be interesting to see. They didn't bring in a graduate with that kind of experience, a graduate transfer that had that kind of experience at Stanford, to not give him the shot at the reins.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the things that you really just can't quantify and can't, one of the reasons I think you can't rule him out is how much of an impact will it make on his candidacy as a possible starter if he really kind of rallies the troops well for a guy that just came in at the end of May and is still getting to know his new teammates. One of the things he was really well regarded at Stanford for was his leadership. And if he can come in and be that guy that players gravitate toward and they have confidence in, that it is kind of that authoritative voice in the huddle that you need, that's the one thing that coaches can't really put a price tag on. So if he does that and is able to make everyone around him better, that's the one thing that I just can't say Garantano definitively can be better in that regard, because I think Garantano brings a lot to the table on the field, but those intangibles matter. And Jeremy Pruitt's seen that with some Alabama quarterbacks firsthand that were not, you know, not Heisman winners, but they did everything they needed to do and were really good in the huddle and just good leaders. And you can win games with that. This team's going to have issues. They need a quarterback that's going to make plays, but they also need someone who can be a good leader for this offense. So I think it is an interesting battle. Got a fifth-year senior in there with some experience starting at a good program like Stanford. It makes things interesting, but at the same time, what we've heard about Jarrett Garantano this offseason has all been pretty positive, that he's responded well to the addition of Keller Crist, and that Tennessee staff maybe has been pleasantly surprised by what they have to work with there. So I think it's a fascinating battle. If you're going by raw talent, I would lean a little bit more toward Garantano being the favorite to win the job right now. But at the same time, you know, Keller Crist brings a lot to the table himself, and I think it's shaping up to be a pretty fascinating competition that may go through all of camp.
Well, and again, the nice problem to have, you know, you're always one play away from the other one playing, so mm-hmm. you know, you have that depth which you hadn't had. Juwan Jennings, what's the realistic? I mean, we saw when he was at his best what he can do on the field. We know last year he was a knucklehead off of it. He's had to work his way back. What can we expect from Juwan Jennings this year?
I think a more focused, you know, I don't know that it's going to be an overnight switch in the maturity department, but at the same time, I do think he has certainly gotten whatever wake-up call he might have needed to go in a little more focused on what he wants to do, knowing this is kind of his last chance to really make it work at Tennessee. And if it doesn't work here, then you're talking about maybe having to transfer down to a lower level to play next year or something like that. So he really wants to make it work at Tennessee. He realized, I think, when he was away from the team last year for a little while that he really missed it, that he really liked everything at Tennessee. And I think with a new coaching staff, it's kind of the fresh start he needed. So far, I think he's responded well. Tennessee obviously needs him. They need him to make plays and be a good player for this team. But on top of that, I think he needs football and needs Tennessee himself. So it seems like it's been a good match so far. And I think he definitely has a coaching staff now that he can respect a little bit more and deal with a little bit better. And that's definitely helped things. So I think Tennessee can maybe count on him a little bit more going into the season than people would think. And we'll see if that stays. But so far, I think he's kept his nose clean and done mostly what he's needed to do.
Ryan Callahan, GoVols247.com, at Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter. You know, also the questions were going to come about Ryan Thaxton, the linebacker arrest over the weekend for domestic mm-hmm. assault, false imprisonment. They're in the dorm, as a matter of fact. Real weird story. How did he handle that?
Yeah, I thought, you know, said what he needed to say, which, you know, in this day and age, that's obviously the kind of deal. You can't usually play the middle ground too much on that. You've kind of got to draw a line, and I thought he did that by saying, you know, we're not going to tolerate that kind of stuff. He didn't, you know, mention Ryan Thaxton by name, really, but he was asked how he would handle situations like that, if it would be on a case-by-case basis or sort of a zero-tolerance policy, and he basically said, you know, hey, we're going to do our due diligence on any case like that, but we're not going to tolerate that. So I think that was reassuring to fans that don't want a coach who's going to bend the rules. I don't think you can treat everything, you know, just black and white. If you're accused of a, you know, a crime, you're automatically off the team, nothing like that. But at the same time, I think that's one of those types of issues that you really can't keep those players around and in your good graces if there is any proof of that happening. So they're obviously going to look into it, but all signs so far point to this being a pretty serious situation for Ryan Thaxton and something they'll have to deal with pretty swiftly if it turns out to be true.
Recruiting, obviously, you're the lead guy for GoVols 247.com. Just get us caught up on what's happened here the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, still trying to get some guys on campus for the end of this month. They've been going through the dead period and waiting to get out of that. That'll end next week officially. And then the final weekend of this month is turned into a big visit weekend for everybody. And, you know, Tennessee, I think the storyline right now is they've gotten some guys recently, the latest being Elijah Simmons, the three-star defensive tackle from there at Pearl Cone, and a nice pickup there, good system fit, a nose tackle at 6'1", 344 pounds, just a big but athletic kid for that size. So they've done a good job of adding him and addressing some other needs recently. Chris Aparogane, a three-star offensive lineman, also from the Knoxville area, but now at IMG Academy in Florida. So a couple nice pickups lately, but still even in good shape to add a few more guys maybe before the season. And this coming visit weekend next week will be big for them to see what they might be able to do before the season starts. So I think he's got some other commitment dates that have been announced. Guys like Warren Burrell, a three-star cornerback who's a big-time target for Tennessee, announcing next Friday on the 27th. So definitely some more activity possible, and they're already up to 14 commitments. So there's a chance they might go into the season in pretty good shape if they can close the deal with some of these guys who are closing out on decisions.
Well, I was looking at the 24/7 composite, 18th nationally, 9th in the SEC. That just shows you, obviously, you know what that's all about. But 18th, that's about right?
Yeah, I think that's about, you know, what can be expected for where they should be, you know, right now. That obviously the number of commitments for each team varies. You've got some teams with more than 20, and they're at 14. So they've got some catching up to do, and they're in position to have a very good shot at a top 15 class at the very least. And if they close with some of the big time guys they're still in on, I think a top 10 or 12 class is well within reach. It just depends on just exactly how well they do, and some of that will be based on how good of a season they have. If they can win 7 or 8 games and surprise people, that would change everything for them in some ways. And as long as they can get to at least 6 wins, I think that's enough to at least show people they're moving in the right direction. So all of that is kind of a wild card, but I do think they're in good shape to at least have a top 15 class, and there's definitely upside for more with some 5-stars out there like Bavaris Crouch, Darnell Wright, the 5-star tackle from West Virginia, Chris Bogle, a top 100 defensive end linebacker from South Florida, guys like that still out there. If they can get a couple of those types of players, a top 10 or 12 class, definitely within reach.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. As always, I know this may be right out of media day, right before when camp starts, maybe a little bit of a calm for the storm here the next week or two. But then, by 1st of August, all hell breaks loose.
Exactly. Football season is basically here with media day. So it's fun stuff's really about to start.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate you, man.
Anytime. Thanks, Greg.
All right. Ryan Callahan, at Ryan Callahan, 24/7.